Those of you that were here last Sunday morning, remember that we used the same passage of Scripture last Sunday for our Scripture reading. Last week we talked about happiness. And this morning I want to go right back to this portion of Scripture called by some the Beatitudes, taken from the Sermon on the Mount. But there's some marvelous teaching in this passage of Scripture about happiness. And I don't know if this is going to turn into a series or not. I know I preached on happiness last week, and I'm going to preach on happiness again this morning, and I'm just going to ask the Lord what I ask Him every week, what He wants me to preach the next time. So if you're thinking, oh boy, we're going to get to go through all these verses, don't get your hopes up, because I don't know if we are or not. But I do want to come back to it this morning. Most good things are byproducts. Very seldom is something worth obtaining that can be obtained directly. And happiness is a good example of that. Happiness is a byproduct of other things. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy, but the pursuit of happiness doesn't bring it. It's okay as a goal, but it's not a destination in itself. It's the process that you go through to get it that brings happiness. Now, let me give you an example. This is one that Brother Clint can relate to, probably more than anybody else, and you'll understand what I'm saying in just a moment, probably anybody else. I got a dog. His name is Sherlock. He's getting kind of old, and so he doesn't run very much anymore. But when he was younger, one of his favorite pursuits was to figure out how to escape, how to get out of the electric fence, how to get out of the yard, and every chance he got, he escaped, and he ran. Now, I never caught him chasing him. Did you, Brother Clint? Never caught him. And I say that because Brother Clint wanted to keep him for me after a house burn for quite a while. I can never catch him chasing him. I mean, it was like he was taunting me. I mean, I would get just so close, and then David, he'd put on a burst of speed. I mean, I could run my hands, you know, along his side, but I could never catch him. And I found the secret to catching him was to run in the opposite direction of the way he was. And when I ran in the opposite direction, he ran to catch me. He could catch me. I couldn't catch him. But he could catch me. And when he caught me, I turned around and grabbed him. And that's the only way that I could catch him. Now, that sort of illustrates what I'm going to say this morning about happiness. If you try to pursue happiness, if you try to catch happiness, it will taunt you. It will tease you. You will never catch it. Happiness is caught by those who are caught by it. Happiness, I'll say it again, happiness are caught by those who are caught by it. Now, the word happy is used in the Bible. But there's another word, like we talked about last week, that's used in the Bible for happiness. It's the word that's used here in Matthew chapter 5, the word blessed. And it has a more fuller, deeper meaning than the word happy. The word blessed means supremely happy, ultimately happy, fully happy, happy through and through, so to speak, happy down to the bone, if you want to say it that way. And in Matthew chapter 5, God says, hey, if you want to be happy, I'll tell you how. If you want to be fully happy, ultimately happy, if you want to be blessed, I'll tell you the formula. I'll give you the ingredients. You see, God knows how to bless people. God knows what it takes for people to be blessed. The word blessed is used all the way from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. You go back and you read in the early parts of Genesis and you'll see where it says, God blessed Adam and Eve. And then you go over and you read in the last parts of Genesis, God's going to be blessing people in the thousand-year reign that the Bible or that we call the millennium. And all the way through, you can go through the Bible and you can read over and over again that God knows how to bless people. He knows how to give happiness. And like we were talking Wednesday night when we were talking about prayer, if you want to know how to do something, don't go to somebody that doesn't know how to do it. Go to somebody that knows how to do it. Go to an expert. And I want to tell you this morning, God knows more about happiness than anybody else in the whole wide world. He knows more about it. And he says, here's the formula. Here's the ingredients. Now, again, there's nine different things here, and I don't know if we're going to get to look at all nine of them or not, but I want to look at that one that's in verse 3, where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to notice, before I get into my message, that it doesn't say, blessed are the poor in money. And a lot of people equate happiness with money. That's not what this verse says. Blessed, it doesn't say, blessed are the poor in money. There's a lot of poverty, and we know people, and some of you may think that you are not rich, that you live in poverty. I want to tell you something, poverty is a relative thing. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have it 100 times better than somebody that lives in Brazil. Not a person in this room that it doesn't have 100 times better than somebody that lives in Mexico City. Not a person in this room that doesn't have it 100 times better than a person that lives in Haiti, which they say is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So it's a relative thing. And so this verse is not telling us how to be rich in a financial manner. Although I will tell you, the Bible tells us how to be rich financially. And it's not part of my message, but I'll just tell you. The Bible says, in all labor, there is profit. You want to know how to be rich? Go out and get a job and save your money. That's the secret. I mean, that's the secret. Even if you get a job at $6 or $7 an hour, in your lifetime, you will make $1 million. The trouble is, most of us spend it. Now, I know we got to spend some of it, you know, to buy food and to buy raiment and to buy the stuff that we need. But most of us could have a lot more money than we have today if we just learn how to keep a little bit more than that we made. I mean, you don't have to spend everything that you make. And you don't have to be like the government, spend more than you make. Again, I'm just saying, if you want to know how to be rich, rich in a money standpoint, the Bible tells us how to do that. In all labor, there is profit. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So go out and get a job, save your money, and you can have riches from a financial standpoint. The Bible says, in having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You don't get happiness by pursuing money. In fact, some of the most unhappy people in the world are people that have money. I read this week about a lady who took over at a company. She's now making $200 million a year. A lot of money. They interviewed her. Said, are you happy now? She said, well, it depends. I have more choices now. But if I'm honest, I'm probably unhappier than I was before because I don't know who my friends are. Everybody likes me. Yeah. Everybody likes me. She says, I'm probably more unhappy now than I was before. But money doesn't bring happiness. Doesn't bring happiness. Here's what this verse says. Blessed, and again, fully, ultimately, bone deep happy are the poor in spirit. Now that word poor means needy, bankrupt, desperate, no way to turn. I mean, you think of when you see this word in this verse, think of somebody that has lost everything, that has no resources, that is absolutely at the bottom of the barrel and has nowhere to turn. That's what that word poor means. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now that spirit is that word that describes that part of us that needs God. Spirit is that part of us that helps us understand how much we need God. So here's what that verse is saying. Blessed, ultimately happy, is the person that knows how much they need God. Blessed is the person. That person that knows how much they need God has the kingdom of heaven available to them. And so what that verse is saying is, the more I understand And the bigger my understanding is of how much I need God, the more happy I am. Now, if you're saved this morning, you have a taste of what I'm talking about. If you're on your way to heaven this morning, you know in part what I'm trying to say. Here, and let me just say this verse in another way to relate it to salvation. Blessed is a man that knows he can't get to heaven without God. Blessed is a man that knows that he can't get to heaven on his own. The most unhappy people in the world, some of the most unhappy people in the world, are those that are trying to get to heaven without God. And so they depend on other things. They depend on their good works. They depend on putting their name on a church roll. They depend on getting in the baptistry, or they depend on the Lord's Supper. And those things are good, and we ought to take part in all those things. But those things don't make us right with God. Those things don't take us to heaven. All the good things that we can do, and all the good deeds that we can do, and all the things that we can take part in that are good, do not in one way qualify us for heaven. Jesus said, John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hebrews, it says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. We sing the truth when we sing that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And until you get poor in spirit, until you come to the point and you realize that I cannot get right with God, I cannot get into heaven unless without Him, until you come to Him and say, oh God, I can't get into heaven on my own. I need You. And until we come to that point in our life, like we sing in the invitation song we use often, just as I am without one plea. I have nothing to plead. I have nothing to offer God. But that Thy blood was shed for me. That's what I'm going to depend on. Nothing that I can do, but what Jesus did for me. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. I come. And so, that's what I'm talking about. Until we get poor in spirit, until we realize that we need God, we can't get saved. And if you're saved this morning, you got to that point. You realize that you were bankrupt. You realize that you were poor. You realize that you were needy. You realize that you needed God to get to heaven. But it doesn't end there. There's more to happiness than just getting saved. Let me find out where I am. All right, here. If you want to be deep down happy, if you want to be ultimately happy, then here's what you need to do. You need to get poor in spirit. Poorer in spirit. We need to realize, if we want to be happy, that we need God. We need Him. And the more and more I realize and understand that I need Him, the bigger my need gets, and the more I depend on God. So here, the things that come into my life that make me realize that I need God ought to be welcome things. The things that come into my life that I might want to say in the flesh, oh no, I don't want you, you stay out, you're not welcome, ought to be the things that I say to, hey, come on in, I want you to come into my life because you make me know that I need God. Things like sickness, things like poverty, things like broken relationships, things like death. Most of us would say, if we have a choice, no, don't want that. You're not welcome. Don't come in. But we ought to say, hey, I want those things in my life because when I have those things in my life, I know that I need God. And I can be blessed of Him. Remember Paul had that thorn in the flesh. He went to God 3 times. He said, take it away, take it away, take it away. I could be a better servant. I could serve you better. God said, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to keep that in your life. Because when you have that in your life, you will know that you need me. You will depend on me. The more we need, the more we can see how God can meet that need. And the more of the kingdom of heaven we can see. Now let me illustrate this. David, how much cash you got in your wallet? Yeah. Well, take it out and count it, would you? Just tell me how much cash you got in your wallet. Yeah, really. Clint, how much you got? You don't have any? You don't have any. Clint, you got any cash? Okay, tell me how much you got. I want to use an illustration here. No, Pam, don't give him any money. Oh, you're helping him count it. Okay. Yeah, open up. No, don't count checks, just cash. All your secret compartments. Clint, open up all those secret compartments in there. Tell me how much you got. How much? $930. Okay, $930. $930. How much you got? $47. Okay. Now here. Let's say that I come to Brother Clint and say, Brother Clint, I got to take a trip this afternoon. I need $100. $100 cash. Is he going to be able to meet my need? Huh? No. Why? He's only got $47. Right? Huh? No, he ain't going to ask Wanda. No. He's only got $47. If I have a $100 need and I come to Clint, he ain't going to be able to help me. Now, if I have a $100 need and I go over to Brother Dave, can he meet my need? Yeah, he can give me $100. He's got $930. But let's say, well, I'm going on a long trip. I need $1,000. Huh? Anybody here have $1,000 cash? No, Visa. Anybody got $1,000? I'm like Brother Cliff. Mine is empty. Yeah? His is too. Yeah. So we're in the same boat. But see, here's my point. If I have a $45 need, I can go to Brother Clint and he can meet that need. If I have a $900 need, I can go to Dave and he can meet that need. Because they got the resources. Now, if I go to Brother Clint with a $100 need, he can't meet it. If I go to Dave with a $1,000 need, he can't meet it. Here's the question. How much does God have? How much does God have? He's got as much as you need. Now listen, don't take this wrong. I'm not talking about money. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills of wealth in every mine. He's got all the money we need. I'm not just talking about money. How much does God have? There is no limit. How much do I need? Huh? Yeah. You see, the way we ought to live our Christian life is, we ought to get to the point in our life where we need God more and more and more and more. Because as I need God more and more and more and more, He rolls back the curtain to heaven and say, I can meet that need. And I can meet that need. And I can meet that need. You know, in the Bible, when it talks about in the book of Exodus, where the nation of Israel limited God, it's talking about their journey through the wilderness. And God says, as He was rebuking them, 10 different times, you limited me. 10 times. I wanted to give you something, and you didn't need it. So I had to keep it. Here's a question. We're almost done. I know we're out of time. Here's the question. How much do you need God? No, don't answer. Just think about it. How much do you need God? Here's what most of us say. Well, I got the money in the bank. My house is okay. My car runs. I got a retirement plan. I guess I'm doing okay. How much of the kingdom of heaven do you think you're going to get? Not very much. Not very much. But here's why I got so excited when Teresa sang her first song. Whatever it takes. God, whatever it takes for me to realize how much I need you, then you take it. If that's my house, if that's my car, if that's my health, if that's my loved ones, then you take it. Because I want to know how much I need you. Because the more that I realize that I need him, the more I say, like the choir sang in the first song, and I forgot Dick Weaver singing that song. I got excited when you told me what we were singing. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And that's one of the secrets in this chapter, how to be happy, how to be blessed. Be poor in spirit. Be poor in spirit. Now, hopefully God doesn't have to take away our health and take away our possessions and to get us how to realize how much we need him. Hopefully we can stay in the Bible enough and we can be reminded from his word that we need him every single moment of every single day. But if we can't, then we ought to say like Paul, okay, bring on the weaknesses. Bring on the thorns in the flesh. Bring on the sickness. Bring on the grief. Because I may think because I got all this stuff, I'm happy. I have no idea what happiness is. It's not until I come to the point where I know that I need God every single moment of every single day that I know what it is to be bone deep happy. And there are people sitting in this room this morning that are a perfect example of what I'm talking about. If we could change things, we'd say, hey, I'm going to get rid of this. I don't want this in my life. I just don't want it. But that's the very thing that reminds you every single day how much you need God. And that's how we get the blessings from God, knowing that we need him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word. Thank you for this blessed truth. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to realize how much we need you. I pray, Father, that you'd send things into our life, if that's what it takes, to remind us how much we need you. Because when we need you, then we can see what kind of God you are. You can meet every need. There's not a need that you can't meet. You're rich beyond measure. And so I pray, dear God, that you would help us to understand how much we need you. I pray for those that are here that need you for salvation. I pray that you'd help them to get down to the bottom of the barrel where they realize that there's nothing they can offer up, that they have to come just like they are. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, they would know the blessedness that comes from getting saved by this morning deciding to depend on him. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Again, oh God, we need you. We need you. Help us never to forget that. Bless the invitation. If there's those here that need to come for baptism, for church membership, if you've laid something on somebody's heart that they just need to come to the altar and pray about, I pray they do that during this time of invitation. If there's souls here that have never received Christ, help them to come most of all, Holy Spirit. Use the invitation, bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.